9, verses 5 through 8. Who freed the wild donkey? Loosed the ropes of the onager to whom I gave the desert as home, his dwelling place the salt flats. He laughs at the clamor of the town, doesn't hear the driver's shout, searches the hills for food and seeks any green sprout. This is the word of God for the people of God.
I love the idea of watching a movie and looking for God within it. It happens natural enough if God is the center of your thoughts, if you're already thinking about God, right? If you know God or you've heard of God or you've encountered scriptures, you might already naturally look within everything you see to see God. For these next 3 weeks, we're going to utilize the story from the movie Moana to think about how we can know the way. As we think about the movie, we can recall that Moana voyages for the sake of her village, and she finds herself on an adventure. If we think about discipleship, we might find some similarities to Moana's story. We begin with this awareness of the stories of God, and we find how we can grow deeper and deeper in our faith through them. The stories of God start with creation, so that's where we'll start today too. Seeing God in creation. Next week, we'll talk about God's plan for Christians and how it interconnects with creation. And in week 3, we'll talk about how we are still connected in creation and in Christ. Let us pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. So in the movie, Maui is the one that leads our main character, Moana, in this adventure. Maui says, "Well, it's nice to see that humans never change. Open your eyes. Let's begin." What do you think? Humans never change? Oof. The creation stories in our sacred book are found in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, and we're invited to think about how God breathed into humankind, how we were formed in the image of God, and how we have been beautifully and wonderfully made. We read about how God always cared for us and that God's presence has always been around creation. When I think about this idea, I turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, where it says, "Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are?" God has been present in all of creation, throughout all of those Old Testament stories too, right? From the Garden of Eden to the Ark to crossing the river to the manna that was found in the desert to provide for the hunger of God's people. God provided for their needs throughout all of history, and God will provide for ours as well as we live out this adventure. We call it life. Today we look at the book of Job, kind of a different reading from what we usually would. Glad we changed it to the Common English Version. You're welcome to read it in other versions and find all sorts of words. Yeah. But what about that donkey in Job? And first of all, why is there a donkey in Job? I thought it was a book all about a guy, right? Yeah, but there's this time in the book of Job where God starts questioning Job, right? Because Job had questioned God. Right? And God responds with these questions, and it's this most challenging time in Job's life. And God's questions are meant to humble Job, to remind Job to whom he belongs. They leave Job silent, having no answers for these tough questions. But God's questions also remind Job that he, this created being, doesn't have to have all of the answers. Doesn't have to know everything. Has to trust in God. Job, in the worst of times, if you want to read about someone gotten it really bad, right? It's Job, right? But even in the worst of those times, God said, "I'm right here. just as I've always been. I am here with you. You don't have to know. It's not your job. But I, God, am in perfect control of everything, including your life. So if Job didn't know how to feed the wild donkey or provide for the donkey's needs, then maybe it was time for Job to go back and trust in God again and to really believe for himself that God was in control. After all of this is too vast for Job to comprehend, too vast for us to comprehend, really. I mean, maybe you're more scientific than me. I'm sure you are. And maybe you're more connected with the earth than I am. And I would believe that too, because like I, until recently, don't even like to get my hands dirty, right? And I gardened the other day and cut my finger, and I can't even show you which one, because that wouldn't be inappropriate, right? Yeah. Maybe you've dissected cells. Maybe you've sat down and imagined. Maybe God has given you wisdom or visions or dreams and has taken you to places that have made you understand better than me. But I'm kind of with Job on this one. Like, that donkey's going to be hungry, dude. I don't know who's going to feed him. It's all too much for Job or I to comprehend. Unlike Job, Job sat silently when these questions were happening. I tend to talk back a little bit. But Job sat silently and stopped questioning God, and he stopped demanding answers from God, and he just was. I understand that part of Job, that questioning part. I have a lot of questions, actually, and often I really do want answers, and my kids have come by that natural enough, too. They started when they were young with the question, why? Perhaps you recall, right, that about 1.5, 2-year-old stage, why? Oh, it can be wearing, but it really makes you think if you want to, right? Why is Kool-Aid red? I don't know. Because someone added something to it. Why did they add something to it? I don't know, right? So you just keep processing. You go down these rabbit trails, right? These bunny hops, right? There's so many questions. Many are curious and continue to ask why, and they mask it in scientific terms or in relationships or in boundary testing. But it's this inquisitive part of us, this naturally inquisitive part of us that invites us to question. And when we pause, and we can, in that pause, even ask God how it can be that we're even here. I remember when I was pregnant with my babies, and I wondered, how did this really work? They came out with 10 fingers, each of them. Each of them. 10 fingers and 10 toes, right? And if they didn't, that was fine too. But they did. They joined the world as breathing beings. They have all the same parts as us. It's happened over and over and over again. That's amazing. If you haven't stopped to think about that in a while, I would invite you to do so. 2 cells. Amazing. Look at you. You are created in the image of God. Each of you. You were knit together in a womb. And most of you have 10 fingers and 10 toes, too. Most of you. Yeah. Creation is truly amazing if you just stop and think about it. Have you ever planted a seed and gotten a flower to grow? Or split a hosta in two and then had 2 plants that both looked beautiful, like they were just made that way? They never looked partial or broken. Maybe a little bit at the beginning, but they grew into who they were to be. The wild donkeys, the birds of the air, the plants of the garden, they are unconcerned with the discussions of politics, for reasons, for people, for fighting. They don't care about the accumulation of goods. They have life and breath and water and food and shelter and sometimes even love. And they roam free. That made me wonder if you've ever wanted to roam free, or if you have. Perhaps you've taken a gap year, they call it now, right? Or a little time away, and you've looked for who you are or who the world is, or you've sought understanding of how this all works or where you fit. Perhaps you haven't done that yet. Maybe you're going to leave this afternoon after this incredible prompting of excitement, right? Maybe you will seek and see what you can find. But on that walk on the beach or down that trail or through the trees, have you been able to see God in that place? When you freed yourself from your schedule or your timepiece or the boundaries that are around you or your must-do list, have you been able to see who God created you to be? Most people have a place. They find a place. If not a place they go to, but then a place in their home or a place within themselves, right? But they find a place where they can hear and feel and be with God. I want you to think of that place. Perhaps you only got to visit for a moment. Perhaps it's hard to get there. Perhaps it's right there in your home and you walk by it because you don't dare sit there. But think of that place. The place where you don't have to worry about a thing. Where God has reminded you of God's presence, or you've remembered those whom you've loved. God was there. Even if you didn't think about it when you were there, God was there. For Moana, it was seeing her ancestors in creation, connecting with the ocean. But what is it for you? Is it dirt? When your hands are dirty, then you're really connected to God. Or is it that glimmer of the star or the plant that reminds you that you too were created just like them by God? What reminds you that God interacts with creation in and around you? That you don't have to worry. That you will be sustained through God's eternal connection. I would say that if you're having trouble this morning remembering where that place is, then you have some work to do this week. To either search your memory, to clear out the cobwebs, to dust off the photo books. I know most of us still have those, right? And to see where was it that your smile came out so naturally that you couldn't hold it back. Where your body felt at peace. And then either go there in your mind or find a way to get there physically. Because that's part of what being created beings is to be in that place. I invite you to think about it and seek God, even in the familiar and unfamiliar places that you encounter this week, that you may find God in any place, that you will find sacred meaning in a meeting place. I'm going to try. I'm going to try this week and see if I can find my place too. One of them is so far away that it would take a whole plane ticket, so we won't do that one. Yeah. And then I would ask that when you're in that place, either sitting there in your mind's eye or physically in that space, that you would open up your voice and say, "Thank you, God." In the song, in Moana, Maui says, "What can I say except you're welcome?" Dear ones, how do we tell God thank you for giving us creation? I think we do that by visiting it, by caring for it, and doing all in our human power to sustain it. For some of you, that will be a call to radical justice work. For others, it will be educating people on the solar system or on solar and the differences. For some of you, it will be recycling, rinsing out the container instead of throwing it in the trash. For some of you, it will be sensible farming, conserving water, electricity, or reducing your carbon footprint. I don't know for each of you what it is. But I know that when we get there, when we try, when all of us try, that we will feel as free as that donkey in Job. And we won't need an answer from God. We will be able to simply be. May you find God in creation this week. May you encounter God and be able to say thank you with genuine, authentic, thankful, and blessed hearts. That is my prayer for you and for me. Amen.